This is the Drive Podcast with Josh Graham.
I love it. I need it.
Couldn't live without it.
You can hear the Drive weekday afternoons, 3 till 6 on WSJS.
You are on a Tuesday Drive. It is WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where I'm outfitted in big orange today. Tennessee, first ever national championship in baseball last night. As a couple people pointed out to me in the office today, though, I know you're not wearing orange today because of your Orioles. Also true. Elsewhere last night, the Florida Panthers won their first ever Stanley Cup, which means Paul Maurice is now a champion. His first title as an NHL head coach, and especially with his ties to the Carolina Hurricanes, there is nobody you should feel happier today for than him. It would sound strange to call him underrated or underappreciated around here, but given all he did for the Canes, he just might be. Quite simply, Paul Maurice set the foundation for Carolina Hurricanes hockey. Other than Rod Brindamore, he is the most important figure in the history of the franchise since it moved out of Hartford. The most important figure other than Rod Brindamore. He proved hockey could work here. That might sound like a gimme today. Back then, I can assure you it wasn't. He took the Canes to the Stanley Cup Final in 2002. First 5 years of its existence. The first ever head coach that the Canes had, in case you didn't know. He did so after many people had written them off. This young kid, he's going to get fired eventually. It's not going to work out. This guy can't win. Who does he think he is? 28, taking over the Hartford Whalers, now going to the South. Carolina Hurricanes, who cares? But he proved during that cup run in 02, he's got top-tier coaching acumen and intelligence. He knows the right buttons to press. He had a goalie rotation that worked out beautifully with Archer Zerbe and Kevin Weeks. They went to the cup final and they pushed an all-time Red Wings team that was coached by perhaps the greatest hockey coach ever, Scotty Bowman. Years later, after Peter Laviolette got fired in the middle of the 2008-2009 season, the Canes turned to Paul Maurice again and in no time turned the Canes into a contender. Later that season, Carolina went to the Eastern Conference Finals. Not one, but two Game 7 road wins. A miracle in the final 2 minutes against the Devils. Double overtime, Scott Walker in Boston to take down the Bruins. Paul Maurice, going back to 1997, he built something successful that was not set up to work at the time. It's easy to forget how far from a gimme the Canes were to thrive, to succeed. They commuted from Raleigh to Greensboro the first couple of years. Support was so small. There's a story that Paul Maurice told one time that a referee came up to him, a linesman, and told him to stop swearing during a game. Not because it was offending the ref, but because there were so few people inside the Greensboro Coliseum that everybody could hear what he was saying, including children. Keep it down, Paul. The kids can hear what you're saying. So there wasn't a lot of money being thrown around for players. And Paul Maurice had to figure some things out. And through very tough times, he made it successful. They easily could have failed with the wrong coach, with the wrong leader, with the wrong guy setting the foundation. And if it would have failed, who knows? Maybe the Carolina Hurricanes aren't even here right now. Maybe they relocate to Quebec. Maybe rather than the Atlanta Thrashers, they're moving to Winnipeg. Who's to say? When you're talking about why the Carolina Hurricanes are a success story, Paul Maurice is one of the first people you point to as to why that is. And with a Stanley Cup title on his resume, Paul Maurice is now an all-time NHL coach. Doing so, having most of his success at places that are far from conventional. He coached the Toronto Maple Leafs, but his success is going to be remembered for what he did with the Florida Panthers. He coached the Winnipeg Jets, but his success is going to be remembered for what he did with the Carolina Hurricanes as well. He is fourth on the career wins list all time, still in his 50s, and in true Paul Maurice fashion, when he's on the ice, being interviewed after winning the Stanley Cup, of course he had a message prepared that I have no doubt he had been thinking about for years. Here he was, courtesy of Sportsnet.
It's just brilliant, right? I've never hugged so many sweaty men in my entire life. I'm not sure I'm going to do it again, but I'm going to do it tonight. So, you know what? It's not what I thought it would be. It's so much better. It's brilliant. You know, it's for my mom and dad in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, my brothers Mike and Shane in Sault Ste. Marie and Waterloo, the whole Langlois clan in LaSalle, Ontario, all of the people that suffered through 30 years of me losing naked excuses, mom and dad especially. Hey, Dad, your name's going up with your heroes. Belleville, Richard, Hal, Lindsay, Maurice.
Good on that guy. Congrats to Mo. Happy that he is a champion today. On X at WSJS Radio, that's where you can chime in on the show. That's also where we're streaming video. It's where our Twitter poll is out there for the movie Will Dalton will be watching next week that you can vote on. His movie today, All the President's Men. Will Dalton, the executive producer of the show. We're also streaming video on YouTube and Twitch, by the way, however, and wherever you are listening or watching. We appreciate that. WD, your four options of movie: The Truman Show, Stripes, Rocky IV, and Hustle and Flow.
I'm interested in The Truman Show.
Jim Carrey, 98. All right. We'll see if that ends up being the choice. Again, vote on the Twitter poll, and we'll pick one by the end of the show, probably around the time that Darren Vaught is joining us. As we're chatting with you today, the Charlotte Hornets are officially introducing Charles Lee as their head coach. Now, they already did some press availability when he was initially hired, but that was when he was still under contract with the Celtics. He won the title with the Celtics as an assistant 8 days ago. It's the day before the NBA draft, and here we have Charles Lee speaking again. Speaking of the draft, though, there are three prospects that the Charlotte Hornets should be circling multiple times to get their fan base excited. Three names that would most invigorate people, most move the needle around here. Full disclosure, the three names are from college basketball. This isn't already a good draft. So the small sample foreign players or the G League Ignite guys, not really going to move you all that much, nor should they, at least right now. That isn't to say they aren't good. It's to say, I don't know. Remember when we all thought Scoot Henderson was going to be awesome a year ago? Maybe he is, but Brandon Miller, who we watched in college basketball and kind of took for granted, turned out to be the better player. Doesn't mean they're bad. Doesn't mean they're going to be worse. It means it's not going to move the needle. So we're narrowing our scope to college basketball players. And there are two that would be tremendous fits for Charlotte, starting with Kentucky guard Reed Sheppard. 52% three-point shooter, one of the best three-point shooters coming out of college we've seen in recent years. You can never have too much shooting on your team. And Reed Sheppard would bring that. It's good in a draft like this to know what a guy's going to bring to you right away, what skill set they're going to bring to your team that will help you right away when you draft them. And there's no question what that will be for Reed Sheppard. Cody Williams. It's a little bit more ambiguous what he's going to be. But this guy is a freak athlete, was at Colorado, a forward, and from a fit perspective, seems to be a plug-and-play guy at the three or the four We don't know if Miles Bridges is going to be back. We don't know who the starting four is anyway for Charlotte at the moment since they traded away P.J. Washington. Are we sure Grant Williams is going to be that guy day one for Charlotte this next basketball season? We don't know. But he's Jalen Williams' younger brother, Jalen Williams from Oklahoma City, who was a breakout player this year. That seems to be halfway through the college basketball season. So many people thought that this was going to be the number one pick, but in recent months, people have soured on him. Not me. Cody Williams, Reed Sheppard, they'd be the best pick or the best fits. The best player on the board, at least among the college players, is UConn's Donovan Clingan. Every year, we're pretty good at picking out the guy that, oh, I watched this guy in college and I know he's going to be good in the NBA. Davion Mitchell at Baylor a few years ago. Last year, Derek Lively. Donovan Clingan's that guy this year. We watched him at UConn. Of course, he's a winner. 7'6 wingspan. And even though you got Mark Williams and Nick Richards on the roster right now, and there doesn't seem to be a need in that spot, you're the Charlotte Hornets. You're not good enough to be thinking about needs as of now. Just pick the best player on the board. And Donovan Clingan just might be that. So those are the guys that I think would most excite Hornet fans and move that needle.
You're on the drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
Will Dalton's movie this week. A movie that's been on the poll so many times, but had not won the poll. So it just feels fitting that after doing the WDs last week, this is the movie that starts off WD's second 100 movies. The second 100. See where we end up. How weird things can get. But this is one of the best movies ever. All the President's Men, 1976. Let's just dive right into it. At the movies with the WD.
Unless you're talking about Star Wars.
Obi-Wan has taught you well.
Movies aren't exactly Will's thing.
I don't get it.
You uncultured swine.
But that's about to change because Josh can't stand it anymore. This is At the Movies with Will Dalton.
What you liked, what you didn't like. Best quote, Rotten Tomatoes score. See if you can guess within five of what the audience score was or is for All the President's Men. Because Will Dalton is a slacker and a procrastinator, he didn't watch this movie until he got to the office today, and he's watching it on a laptop when I called you two nights ago. And told you, I had accidentally purchased it on the WSJS YouTube account. And thus, meaning I paid for the movie.
Yes.
I even told you, you're not going to want to watch it tomorrow night because Game 7's going on and you have all these other things. You have the College World Series. And rather than do the thing where you could just plan ahead and watch it ahead of time, like I did. No.
Well, see,
you're in the office today watching All the President's Men.
I didn't take into account that House of the Dragon was Sunday night.
Is it every Sunday night?
Yeah.
Shouldn't it be that hard to take it into account? And also, that show's an hour. It's not a good excuse. I'm sorry. Your procrastination
it got watched.
Is obnoxious, especially with this movie that is so detailed.
It is.
With so many things that the first time you watch it, you want to have it on a screen where it has your undivided attention, and you couldn't give it that today. So we'll see what you thought of it. What did you like?
I did like the fact that it was a journalism masterclass. Like, in the sense of, like, they had to... There were so many different people that they talked to try and figure this out. There were so many different things that they were trying to uncover that it is true. Like, it's tough to keep up with it all, especially if you're not as familiar with Watergate and the story, which... I knew of it. I knew it had to do with Nixon. I remember the scene from Forrest Gump where they're rummaging through stuff in the trash or
this
something.
This is WD's. Here's how you conceive of history. Things that happened before you were born. Well, I remember in Forrest Gump called the police.
Yeah.
And that's how they found the Watergate folks.
They did.
And now this is your
but
historical document to tell you what happened during Watergate. Correct. It's not a terrible historical document. There is some stuff that was made up. Like, apparently, Carl Bernstein just made up, along with the writer, the Florida scene where they go down and get the documents and they fake out the receptionist to get into the office and get documents. That just never happened. That's just made up. But everything else seems to be pretty accurate. And you're right, the commitment to journalism and the monotony of the process of it all, that's really what makes this movie so compelling, because a lot of movies would take liberties and find like a violence angle or find something that makes it super splashy.
And it wasn't.
Or throw like a sex scene in there or like a random love interest. No.
It was
this
grimy.
Movie started with Watergate, and then the entire thing was, oh, that's weird. Why is this person at the courtroom? Oh, why'd this person say this? Let me call this person. And then it's has like a snowball effect where it just keeps moving and keeps growing the controversy. And the ending is perfect where you just have the typewriter that tells you the headlines.
And I thought
the drip of how this thing ended.
And I thought that was so interesting. I guess the two scenes that I remember are the only two scenes where they did this, where it's the TV. Like, one was at the end where he's being inaugurated, and you just see them in the background typing the story. They did that, like, two different... I just thought that was a really cool aesthetic.
What did you dislike about this movie?
It started out as something I didn't like, but it was a little bit of a slow burn. Kind of like what you did say, there wasn't a lot of, like, pizzazz, I guess. There wasn't anything splashy about it. It was very grimy.
I didn't know if you would like this movie because... You're not a history person.
Actually, I do like history.
No, you don't.
I do, but
you,
it's okay.
You don't.
I do.
You obviously don't.
I see.
And it doesn't hold your hand at all.
It does not.
In telling you about these characters you no. have to learn based on observations
you
that
do.
Robert Redford's character of Woodward is that he might not be the smartest person, but no one outworks him. And Bernstein has all this talent, but he cuts corners and smokes cigarettes. Like, they don't tell you with expository ways that these are who these characters are.
No.
You just kind of have to get it from the movie. And a lot of that with history parts, too. There are certain things about history you need to know in order to grasp fully what's happening in the movie. But it did kind of hit me that a couple days from now is the presidential debates.
Mm-hmm.
It is an election year. And what struck me watching this again is there's no way a movie like this could work again. Now, I'm not saying journalism movies can't work. Spotlight did in 2015. But I'm talking about a movie that depicts modern American history. Something that happens because our politics have become so poisonous that even if it was a great retelling of what happened, an accurate retelling of what happened, you'd have one half of the country that flatly rejects it.
Sure.
That pokes holes and says, oh, it's not accurate because of this, and this is a hack job and whatever, and it wouldn't be supported regardless of what side it was. Like, if they decided to do a movie about Clinton, or if they... Bill Clinton, or decided to do a movie on Trump, or decided to do a movie on fill in the blank, both sides of the political aisle, depending on what the movie is, you already know that one half of the potential audience for it is going to reject it in a way that I don't think was the case in 1976. Best quote.
Got a couple in mind here. Here's one. I have a wife and a family. And a dog
and a cat.
Here's the other one. If you guys F up again, I'm going to get mad.
Yeah, well, that's... You missed the first half of that
quote,
it's like, you know...
It's only the First Amendment.
Not much on the line except First Amendment, the future of the country, those types of things.
Run that, baby.
None of that matters, but if you do this again, I'll get mad. Robarts. He might have been the best part of this movie.
Oh, he was great.
Playing Ben Bradley. Did you recognize Jason Robarts? Does that name mean anything at all to you? Or does that face mean anything to you, Jason Robarts?
His face was familiar.
Okay. Best quote. The most iconic quote from this movie is "Follow the money."
Yeah, that was the first one I wrote down.
Is the rant aware you don't smoke?
I also wrote that one down as well.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Run All that, baby. President.
Yes. Run that, baby. Rotten Tomatoes for All the President's Men, 1976.
69.
92%.
Good grief.
And that's been At the Movies with the WD.
Josh Graham loves to talk sports. He also loves to take herbal body baths to keep his skin supple and youthful looking. You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
Give me the Florida Panthers. This is reminiscent of the Kane Stanley Cup win in 2006.
Rodriguez with Fogel now out of the box. They score! Evan Rodriguez threw it toward the net, and a 1-0 Florida lead.
I'm going to say Florida's goaltending shows up tonight, and the Florida Panthers win 3-1 against Edmonton later tonight. Texas A&M missed its shot at the national title yesterday.
That ball is pulled down the line, and it is out of here! 1-0, Tennessee.
Cue up the Rocky Top. The Vols are going to be your national champions.
Rocky Top reaches the mountaintop of college baseball. You're
sampling the best. Nailed it. WD, when we hand out best bets, I put my money where my mouth is.
You do.
And last night was a very profitable evening.
You cashed it. Capitalism, man.
Underdog Sportsbook gave him a call, said, send me that Cash App, family, if you don't mind.
Send me that Cash App, family.
I don't even know if that's one of the options, but they do have a lot of options available. So we'll get to tonight's best bets in just a few minutes. Got some for Major League Baseball. But first, peeking back to last night, but not the Vols, not the Florida Panthers, the Charlotte City Council approved by a 7-3 vote $650 million of taxpayer money to go towards the renovations of Bank of America Stadium. This pushes off plans for a brand new stadium until 2046. They can't even start negotiating for that until 2037, based on some of the documents. Some of the councilmen, some of the councilwomen, they had pointed comments towards David Tepper because of the drink-tossing incident in Jacksonville, because of Rock Hill. But if you're a Panthers fan, you should be very pleased by the results of this vote, and here's why. The most important thing is the most important thing. And the most important thing is keeping the Panthers in Charlotte long-term. That's something you hear from coaches where it almost sounds like Coach B. Keep the most important thing the most important thing. And in this case, making sure that the Panthers are here long-term and that you know where you're going to be playing your football for decades on end, that is the most important thing. Even stable organizations struggle with this sometimes. Look at what's going on with the Royals and the Chiefs. Are they crossing state lines into Kansas, or are they staying in Missouri? What exactly is going on there? These things can get messy very quickly. This did not. Most fans, they didn't want a new stadium. They like Bank of America Stadium. Why wouldn't you? The weather's great. It's uptown. It's different than other teams in the sport. Anybody who comes out of town that doesn't visit Bank of America Stadium all that often, it's something they point to. Wow, this is really cool seeing a downtown stadium. Yes. And it's in good shape. So the Panthers are going to be uptown long term. Bank of America Stadium isn't going anywhere. That's all a huge win. And while $650 million of the funding is coming from taxpayers, it isn't increasing the taxes for Charlotte citizens. That's important to note here, that the taxes, or the taxpayer money for this, is coming from a a fund that you're already paying for if you're a Charlotte taxpayer that is earmarked for tourism purposes. Now, you tell me what's a better use for tourism dollar money than renovating the stadium that you have the big concerts for, Charlotte FC, the Carolina Panthers.
It was concerts.
Most of your tourism happens at. I can't think of something. So why is it a talking point? Why is Cam Newton talking about on his podcast? Why are city council people having real problems with this and people are voting against it even when it comes to this renovation, approving it, when down the road in Raleigh, we saw a very similar measure, a renovation plan to PNC Arena for the Hurricanes announced, and all the reaction was complete elation. And that's funded pretty much the same way, with money earmarked, taxpayer money earmarked for tourism going towards PNC Arena. So taxpayers are not paying more. Taxes aren't going up. Why is one being celebrated so much and the other isn't? The answer is simple. It's about David Tepper. The reason why people aren't jumping up and down and are super excited about it the way that they were in Raleigh about this is because when Tom Dundon arrived in 2018, all he did was win. It's all he's done since arriving. All David Tepper's done upon arriving in Charlotte is lose.
You know, with concerts.
And there's been weird stuff going on behind the scenes with presidents of the team leaving, and you had the Rock Hill disaster. The team has lost quite a bit. There's been the public missteps, the Jacksonville incident. Not great. You have TV shows talking about you. But at the core of it, they're not all that different. So we here aren't going to talk about it that much differently. We're going to talk about how it matters to you as a sports fan. And this is a win. Just like the Hurricanes renovation deal, a win for the Canes at PNC Arena, because you know the Canes aren't moving anywhere either and staying long term. The same could be said for the Panthers. Now, the pushback you're going to hear from so many when these types of topics come up, where $650 million of taxpayer money is going towards a stadium, why can't Tepper just pay for it himself? You're not going to like the answer to this, but it's the truth. You could pander, I could, and say, oh yeah, he's worth $20 billion and he should pay for his own stadium and that. The honest answer is the American answer here. It's the truth, because he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. He's a business person. You don't make $20 billion for being bad at business. So if you don't have to, if you can get the taxpayers to pay $650 million for your stadium, why wouldn't you do that just from a business perspective? Why wouldn't you just do that? And I can hear people saying, probably in their cars right now, it's his team though. He could pay. Yes, it's his team. And he could also take it somewhere else. There'll be other teams, other cities that would be willing to pay the $650 million to fund a stadium or a new stadium. This wouldn't be a renovation, obviously, somewhere else, but to fund a stadium to have an NFL team. So, yeah, there's demand for these types of things, which means you have to pay something, and that's just how this works. But you should be pleased. Taxes aren't going up for Charlotte residents. There's not going to be a new stadium for the foreseeable future, and the Panthers aren't going anywhere for the foreseeable future either. That's why you should be pleased with the Panthers renovation vote and how this turned out. Let's get to tonight's best bets before getting to Darren Vaught.
I'm not a betting duck.
Care to make it interesting?
You know you do.
You're on. Count me in on this.
Your best bet.
But my money's on the other team.
This is Josh's best bets.
Went 2-1 officially last night, but man, a bad beat with Tennessee and A&M. We had Tennessee on the run line, which was -1.5 runs. They're up 6-1 in the eighth. They're up 6-3 in the ninth. They only win by one run. So that was our one loss. Out Burleson over 1.5 bases. He had a double and a single last night, so well over that number, the former Pirate, and St. Louis's win over Atlanta. Game 7 went well under 5.5 goals. Only 3 were scored in the game, so a profitable evening to say the least. We've got 3 bets for tonight. WD, we didn't touch the Orioles last night. Nope. They lost 3-2 to the Guardians. We will play the Orioles tonight, though. Orioles money line, that's where we're starting.
Send me that cash out, family.
They're not losing five in a row. They got Cole Irvin on the mound tonight. They're at home. Urgency will be there. It's minus 159, the Orioles, to beat the Cleveland Guardians. In terms of a prop from that game, Anthony Santander is looking for his 20th home run. Home run bets can be a bit long sometimes. So rather than go with the home run bet, we're going to go over 1.5 bases for Santander, which is plus money at plus 105.
Send me that cash out, family.
He's really good against left-handed pitchers, and that's who Baltimore has tonight, the switch-handing. Anthony Santander could be a all-star. We saw his throw from right field last night, one of the three or four longest outfield assists of the season. Does it all for Baltimore. Santander over 1.5 bases. And then WD, you got the Subway Series tonight, Yankees-Mets. And I had to text my buddy Arielle Epstein, who is the prop queen from MLB Network, to see what she thought about this, because she lives in New York and follows baseball closer than anybody I know. And I really take this pick, put a lot of stock into this pick, because she's a Yankee fan. She's picking, in a sense, against the Yankees tonight with Mets pitcher David Peterson. She has Mets pitcher David Peterson's over 4.5 strikeouts. The Yankees, one of the better teams against right-handed pitchers, not very good against lefties. And the Mets are one of the highest K teams in baseball. I think in terms of you look at some of the OPS numbers when they are throwing their lefties, it's pretty darn good. The Mets are at home. They're on a bit of a roll right now. David Peterson over 4.5 strikeouts tonight, courtesy of our buddy Arielle Epstein.
Send me that cash out, fam.
From MLB Network. So there you go. Three picks for tonight. Orioles moneyline, Anthony Santander over 1.5 bases, and we like David Peterson over 4.5 strikeouts against the New York Yankees tonight. That's going to be on TBS at 7 o'clock tonight. Boom. Darren Vaught, he's going to join us to answer unusual questions. In addition to that, we'll talk baseball with Darren. We'll give away Hailstorm tickets, and we'll decide what WD's movie for next week will be. All that next on The Drive.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
Before we get to Darren Vaught, the Charlotte Hornets just posted a video on their Twitter site, on their social media, of current players rolling up to Charles Lee's press conference. That included the star of the team, the face of the franchise, LaMelo Ball. Well, the post just got taken down on Twitter because LaMelo thought it'd be fun to just start flipping off the camera throughout them walking into the press conference. This is the guy you're entrusting with the franchise. A player who can't stay healthy, who went viral a month ago riding a go-kart around and around and around on the roof of his car. That one time during an interview with Darren Gant, nearly hit Darren Gant's car while riding a scooter, a Lime scooter in Charlotte, into traffic. LaMelo Ball, constantly creating headlines for reasons that are less than awesome, that are not ever positive.
Did he almost hit Darren Gant?
That's the way Darren described it to us.
You know, it's funny because as you were setting that up, I had not seen the pictures. I just had a weird feeling you're going to tell me he flicked off the camera. I don't know why it is, but
you don't know why that is?
Well, I think I know why.
He's a 12-year-old. That's why.
I do love the golf cart or the go-kart.
Why do you like that?
Because it's awesome. It's a go-kart.
It's not
on the roof.
That's not what you want your star player to
be
doing.
He's riding a go-kart on the roof. Why would you not like that? That's awesome.
I would like LaMelo's kids to do that. I don't think I'd want LaMelo Ball. That's the star of your team, flicking off cameras and having things deleted off of social media as a result and then going viral. Honestly, it's a lot cuter if you're winning. If you're not winning, then maybe don't ride the go-kart on your roof. Maybe don't do that. Darren Vaught now joins us. USA Baseball, ACC Baseball, etc. There's nobody more equipped to talk about college baseball than you are, I feel like, around here. So Tennessee just won the national championship. That was one of the programs that every year we say, oh, yeah, it's kind of crazy that they've never won before. A&M was another one of those. Who's the top team on that list? Is it Carolina? Is it Florida State? Who's the top team on the list of this is nuts that this team's never won?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you take into account that Florida State has been there so often, like with Tennessee, it's okay. It's, you know, the past three, they've been there. They're kind of one of the it teams of recent vintage. Probably Florida State is going to be the top of that list that they've never won one. I think it's probably coming sometime soon when the SEC relinquishes control of the College World Series and allows literally anyone else to win one again. Whenever that might be, maybe it's next season. Florida State's a good one. North Carolina as of late is a pretty good response to that as well. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the list, right?
What is the takeaway from Omaha from an ACC perspective when the story going in was four ACC schools versus four SEC schools and the ACC gets wiped out?
I don't know that there is a takeaway. Like, look, we know the SEC runs things. Like, we just that's what has happened as of late. It's the SEC, and then down a ways it's the ACC, and then down a ways further it's everybody else. But look, like most of those games, the ACC was what, 0-5 against the SEC head to head in the College World Series. Three of those were one run games.
Florida State blew it against Tennessee. State blew it against
Florida
Kentucky.
Florida State could have easily won that game, right? We all saw the check swing that didn't get called. They could have easily been the winner in that game. So look, you play on the margins. We said it going into Omaha that a lot of these teams are there because they win on the margins. When games are that tight, I get that the SEC people want to rally around that 5-0 number against the ACC. I don't know that that is as significant as they might lead you to think.
Are you ready to answer unusual questions?
Yeah, always.
But last week, guys, everybody made it out that I got mad at Josh and I left the press conference. That's not right. I thought it was an unusual question, and it's okay.
It's time for Unusual Questions with Josh Gray.
It certainly is okay, Roy. WD, you've been kind of quiet over there, so I'll let you get us started in Unusual Questions today. But first,
yes,
if you would like to see Hailstorm July the 9th in Raleigh, 336-777-1600, all you have to do is call in and ask us. It could be even a usual question, even though the segment's unusual questions. It's usually more fun when it's not sports-related. Hailstorm in Raleigh, July the 9th. If you call in right now, you get tickets for asking us an unusual question. What do you have, WD?
So I watched All the President's Men today. That was my movie this week. And there was a scene in there where this guy, you know, he was drinking out of a water fountain.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody drink out of water fountains anymore? And I don't mean, because a lot of people, when they use them like at Planet Fitness, they're filling up their water bottle. Does anybody actually like bend down and lean over and actually drink out of a, like drink out of it? Do they do that
COVID
anymore?
COVID killed it.
You know what I mean?
COVID killed
it. Like, do you see that anymore?
I don't think so.
I will utter aloud, ew, if someone does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like,
I'll probably react the same way the guy at J.J. Redick's press conference reacted when J.J. clearly lied, saying that LeBron didn't chime in or he didn't hear from LeBron.
Until Thursday afternoon.
Wario doing so, chiming in there. Oh, I didn't talk to LeBron at all during this process. Bah!
That reminds me of, what's the meme? It's the dude, what is that, brother? Brother, ooh.
What's your unusual question? Or wait. Yeah, I think we are all kind of on the same page that no one drinks from water fountains anymore. Should I go to the phones first?
Yeah, let's go to Dave and Clemens.
Dave, what's your unusual question?
What's up, JG? I wanted to ask an unusual question in regards to our boy Billy B, a.k.a. Billy Football, also known as Bill Belichick. I don't know if you've seen the headline.
Oh, boy.
But we've got a 72-year-old man dating a 24-year-old girl.
We need to talk about it.
My unusual question is, how many years is too many years? What's the cutoff line for you guys?
All right. See, the normal rule of thumb is divide your age in half, add 7.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So Belichick, you say he was 72? 72?
72, right?
Yeah, so that'd be 36 plus 7. 43 would be, okay, fine. 24?
He barreled through that. Like, 20 years.
What do they talk about? What do you think those conversations are like? I'm interested. Like,
that's
well,
the question.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. You like the roast? I was Kim Kardashian was on the roast, and I made some jokes about her. And there's Kevin Hart. You like Kevin Hart, right? He's pretty good.
I have no idea. So, like, in the report, initially, I think it was the TMZ report, they met on a flight.
Yeah.
And they discussed she had, like, a philosophy book for school that she was reading.
And she's a cheerleader, but not a cheerleader for the Patriots. That's important to note. A lot of people
but they discussed that. It was noted in the piece that they discussed her cheer routines.
Yeah. So again, it wasn't like, oh, he saw her as a Patriot. A
72-year-old man is discussing cheerleading routines with a 20-something, a low 20-something. Because I think the timeline suggests that at the time that they met, she was like 21.
Bill, you know, now we know. Bill likes to get down. And it's also... it's been an interesting couple of weeks on the internet with viral subject matter related to young women, let's say. Like, there's a lot of things that have been out there that have gone viral. The internet is especially pervy.
Are you talking about the Hakatua girl?
Exactly. That's exactly who I'm talking
about.
We can say
that.
But also SEC. Where's Gary Hahn? Also, SEC fans, the last couple of days have been on one as well. It seems SEC bro culture has infiltrated Twitter in a way that is different than we've seen in the past. What's your unusual question, Darren Vaught?
I had the unfortunate incident in the middle of a heat wave where the air conditioning in my car has ceased to work.
Not good.
It's really a rhetorical unusual question, because that is the worst possible scenario, to lose AC in your car, right? In the middle of a historically hot week when it's up to 100 degrees. It's awful, awful. It didn't work on my way back to, I was at the USA Baseball Complex yesterday, worked fine on the way there. I drove home. It's like a 20-minute drive for me. Hot air, whole time. I just was expecting it to eventually get cold. I was drenched. I was so disgusting when I got home.
What's the question?
I said it was rhetorical.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So there's a story. And
you know what that means.
Understood.
I'm just letting you know how I'm doing. It's a check-in.
Since he didn't want us to answer anything to that, I'll just go to the phone.
We're friends here.
Kyle, the Amazon driver, what's your unusual question?
Howdy, fellas. Howdy. I'm just letting you know. I don't want to, you know, maybe you can still call me Kyle the Amazon driver. But currently, I'm about 40 feet in the air at a warehouse called Badcock Distribution Center, right? And I got a new job, and I do not like heights. So I've got to ask you guys, when's the last time money made you conquer your fear?
Oh,
that's good.
Wait, hold on. Can we first address Kyle the Amazon driver is no longer an Amazon driver.
Yeah, what are we going to call him now? We need to figure that one out. Kyle, figure it out with WD behind the scenes what you'd like to be called, because I'm still fine with Kyle the Amazon driver, even if you don't work at Amazon anymore. It's like they didn't stop calling RIP Willie Mays the Say Hey Kid when he wasn't a kid anymore. They didn't stop calling. They still call him Sid the Kid, even though he's not a kid anymore either.
Hold on. Are we going to argue that Kyle is an Amazon driver at heart the way that we would argue that Maze was a kid at heart?
Yes.
That's
exactly what I'm arguing. Work made you conquer a fear. Well, I remember, I love hot things, but I remember I lost a bet one time where they just, I think we were doing a sponsorship from Firehouse at my last job before I did radio here. And they just brought in, they used to have on all their hot sauce bottles, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way up to 10 in terms of hotness level. They just brought in the 10s.
Ooh.
They just brought in the 10s, and that was not a pleasant experience. But work made me have to adjust a little bit. Also, so broadcasting wrestling. I accepted a job where I had to broadcast high school wrestling, and I didn't know anything about wrestling, so that was a little bit of a scary process too.
So, in the summer of 2011, I was the play-by-play broadcaster for the Morehead City Marlins. Kid who grew up in the mountains was on the beach for the summer at 21 years old. Sounds pretty great, right?
Sure.
21-year-old kid, deathly afraid of the ocean. Not a beach person. Mm. Not a thing. There's a lot of bartering with like small Coastal Plain League team type businesses and organizations. We had a local marina who was a sponsor in exchange for a team boat.
Huh.
So you can imagine I'm like a meek 21-year-old kid doing his first baseball play-by-play job when they say team building, when we're taking the boat out for lunch. We're going to get Jersey Mike's and we're going to take the boat over to Shackleford Island. I think that's what it's called. Shackleford Banks, the one with the horses. We're going to take the boat out there to eat lunch as a group. I can't say no. I can't say no to this. I don't do boats. I don't do the ocean. The team owner, not a professional, but a pretty good boat operator, is driving the boat. So I get out there and I get on. I don't get 2 feet on the boat without a life jacket. And I'm just getting flamed the whole time by everyone there. Because I'm like, look, when we get out into that ocean, I don't care what you think. Because if we go down, I'm going to be safe and you're not. And you know what? I was really proud of myself for enduring the boat ride, both there and back. It's like a mile and a half on top of water or something.
Wow.
That's terrifying.
That is pretty terrifying. My unusual question doesn't require music being in the background. Darren, this one's just designated at you because I don't know if you've heard this yet. Grade this play-by-play call. This is courtesy of the Florida Panthers radio network.
10 seconds left. 2-1 Panthers. A dream 30 years in the making is a reality. Whoa! The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup.
Lord Stanley is coming home. You always will have a place in South Florida. Oh, my God.
The Panthers have won the Stanley Cup for the first time in franchise history.
Yeah!
Start the celebration, South Florida. The Panthers have done it.
Stanley Cup champions!
Thought you would like that.
In summation, pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't really have any notes. Pretty good. Like, cool. All right.
Guy sounds like he's had a fifth of something. For sure. Which of these movies should Will be watching next week? Stripes, Rocky IV, The Truman Show, Hustle and Flow.
You'll be happy to know I voted already.
Yeah. I bet you voted Truman Show.
Truman Show.
Yeah.
That's what I went for.
Let me see what the audience has said.
Wait, which Rocky was it?
Drago, four. Rocky IV.
Four.
Wait, have you seen 1 through 3?
Just one.
Well, it's definitely not Rocky IV then. Like, what
no, you know, you can watch him out of order. Are you kidding? Rocky, I mean, there's not He's much the storytelling. Yeah, Rocky IV. You can watch Rocky IV without having watched two or three, for sure. All right, Darren.
You got a Clubber Lang before you Ivan Drago. Come on.
Darren Vaught, it's good to see you, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sounds good.